Thank you, Dan. Because I've had some people lately that, some of the prophecies that I'm going to read tonight, and I won't read a lot of the prophecies, but I'm going to do some extensive reading, and I hope you don't mind that, but I do that to help us understand that many of the things that we talk about, in the visitor center, we always bring it up about the New Jerusalem, et cetera, and so forth. But I've run into the idea that sometimes the people that you talk to about that don't have any idea that the whole plan is the gathering of Israel. They know these things are written, and they've concentrated so much on that that they don't realize that this whole thing is a massive plan, a divine plan, that the Lord has set up, and the way he's going to do it is, I guess, to me, pretty much unimaginable for a human being, because he's got all these things that he's doing, and he brings it together. And in the process of all that, he's giving everyone their right of choice to choose him or choose something else. A free will choice he's given to everybody that's involved. And at the same time, he's getting all these things done because their choices put them in certain positions in all this plan. And he's made covenant with Abraham, but in the last days he's calling my people. Well, I guess I would like to read you a short scripture this time. It's in chapter 12 of 2 Nephi. And it's pretty explanatory as to how he does things and what he is committed to. In chapter 12, I was almost to try to read that out in chapter 11, but it isn't there. I'll start reading at verse 75 on page 158. And he's talking to, this is Nephi, and he's talking to his own people. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. You know, there's several little items here, but this is a big stamp. If we want God's approval and be called a covenant people, that's what we have to do. And all these people that say that they wish the same God, that they serve the same God that we do, but they won't do this, they fool themselves. Don't let them fool you too. That's my point, I guess. And I'm going to begin to read in the 7th chapter of 1 Nephi. And Nephi starts out here and he's talking to his brethren and he's telling them, he read a lot out of the plates of brass, and that's why I go back to this one. This is how early it's written about, like this. Now it came to pass, beginning at verse 1 on chapter 7 on page 72, and now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, after that I had read these things, which were engraven upon the plates of brass, my brethren came to me and said unto me, what meaneth these things which ye have read? Behold, are they to be understood according to things which are spiritual, which shall come to pass according to the spirit and not the flesh? And I, Nephi, saith unto them, behold, they were made manifest unto the prophet by the voice of the Spirit. For by the voice of the Spirit are all things made known unto the prophet, which shall come upon the children of men according to the flesh. Wherefore, the things which I have read are things pertaining to things both temporal and spiritual. For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth, and also among all nations. And behold, there are many which are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whither they are, none of us knoweth, save that we know that they have been led away. And since that they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all they which shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded, because of the Holy One of Israel. For against him will they harden their hearts. Wherefore, they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated by all men. Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord hath lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and their children shall be carried in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal, for thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. And it meaneth us in the days to come, and also all our brethren which are of the house of Israel. So the Gentiles are going to do a special work. And he put his hand upon us as the Gentiles, and you and I, most of us here, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, but sometimes even then, you need to refresh your memory of these things. And it meaneth that the time cometh, that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. And by them shall our seed be scattered. And after that our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles. And we've seen that marvelous work. You and I are a part of that. Now, we weren't there when when it really occurred, the main event that we always talk about, the organization of the church, the coming forth of this very book, this record that I'm reading from. It brings us knowledge that is in the Bible, but you miss it if you're as thick-headed as I am. But this book helps you understand that it's there, most of it in Isaiah. Let me back up here a little bit. And after that our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles, and being carried on their in their arms and upon their shoulders, and it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles. And I would point out something here. I don't know whether you all view it like I do or not, but we got a president that a lot of people don't care too much about, because I guess he's like I am. Sometimes he doesn't say things just right, and we have to ask forgiveness for that. But because of the effort that he's put forth, and, you know, in 1948, the Jews got to go back to Jerusalem, which was unlawful for them to do earlier. But they got to go back. They got to live there. And they're doing that, part of them. So we see that the thing has commenced. And when, as we see that, then the force of our nation now has given them the privilege of establishing our embassy in the city of Jerusalem. And they've begun to say that is the capital, although we haven't really gotten it all done yet. They're going to try to make that the capital of the nation of Israel. So see, God has a way of doing things, if this is the right way to put it, even through somebody lots of people don't like. But he's in a position he can do it. So he has. Hopefully he's doing it for all the right reasons. That I don't know. All I know is this is what's happening. And it also shall be of worth unto the Gentiles, and not only to the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of all of the nations. But this basic idea of the things that the house of Israel have done and what they believe, what's ahead, even the Messiah, even though they believe in him and don't believe in here, but this idea has been put in all the nations that they have gone to. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore, the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations in bringing about his covenants unto his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore, he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their first inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And you might wonder, why are they in obscurity and darkness? Well, they won't believe the light, the messenger of light. His name is Jesus Christ. Some of them are, you say. They are beginning to do that, some of them. But it's not there yet. But this is telling us it's going to happen. And this was written many, many years ago. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of the great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, will turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore which hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall tumble to the dust and shall fall, and rather shall be, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, that the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be, by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it had been brought out by one of our brethren on one of the other scriptures that he read. He, for a long time, thought that was only to happen to us in the flesh. That it wasn't saying anything about what was to come in the hereafter. But we have to realize this is both. It's both. And it must need be upon the face of this earth. All this blood stuff is on the face of this earth. And he's making the point of that. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. And you'll notice here, I know you're all aware of this, but every time it comes to a point, every once in a while, it's kind of like the Lord is making a circle. He's telling you something, then he comes back to it. He says, but this isn't true. This is the core. And then he goes on into a bunch of other things. And that's why he keeps saying, the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus Christ. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And you know, this prophet that Moses is talking about had an exclusive standing. He's the only one, you know, God prophesied through these prophets. And you had to recognize that it was God's prophecy. And sometimes it didn't turn out that way. And God's saying, well, if it doesn't happen, like he says, he's presumptuously spoken and it's not true. But not this prophet. This prophet that Moses is talking about is going to have the Father's words put in his mouth, and he will speak them to us. Now, if we've read the New Testament, We know that Jesus says that's what he did. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all they which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness. You know, now this is entirely a different issue, but I was talking to a lady on the phone the other day, and she was having trouble because she had been hurt, and it's lasted her most of her lifetime by somebody, and the hurt is so much she just couldn't forgive. And so we began to talk about this, how you need to give that to the Lord. Pray and ask him to forgive you and to forgive that person and let God take care of the rest of it if you can't fix it yourself. And she says, but I can't do that. And I said, well, turn it over to the Lord, because he will always do the right thing. Whatever's right, he'll do. And her answer was, thank you, brother. Nobody ever said that to me before. Nobody ever assured me that if I turned it over to God, the right thing would be done with it. So we all have to realize this, just like we have to realize all these things here, that when the God is really talking about his people, and when we're going to be cut off from among the people, that's his people. And if we do that, it means they have accepted Jesus Christ and they are keeping the commandments that he has given them. That's really important to us. That's really something we need to hang on to for dear life, if I may say it that way. Because we have to believe in Christ. We have to call on the Father in his name. And he reminds us of that if we just try that. Because you find out he will say, every time we pray, we do it in his name, we ask it in Christ's name, we're reminded that our communication with the Father goes through that Son, that Holy One of Israel. And when the blessing comes back, it comes back through that Son. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they that shall not be confounded. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, and although they which are built up to get power over the flesh, and they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and they which seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world, and to do all manner of iniquity, yea, and find all they which belong to the kingdom of the devil, it is they which need fear and tremble and quake. You know what's odd here? We get down through here and he's saying all these things apply to all the churches that do these things. And then he tells us there's a big kingdom that's involved that we're talking about all the time. And he calls it the kingdom of the devil. And it is they which must be brought low in the dust. It is they which must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep. You know, you notice here, he's not just in this case, he's not just calling them house of Israel, he's calling them his people. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. And I've had many people say, well, when it comes to that and it says that, that's when Satan is bound and thrown at the bottom of the pit, so now you got the millennium. Let me read on a few verses and see. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. And now behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. But behold, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. And I'll stop there, and I want to kind of turn to the book of Jacob. And in the book of Jacob, it tells you, it gives you the, in the third chapter, it gives you the parable of the vineyard. And I'd like to read that, a part of that to you. I'll start reading at verse 136 now, because this is a long thing, so I don't want to read that much. Take me all night, because I'm too slow. And it came to pass, this is on page 186, and it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. And the Lord of the vineyard sent unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites, for behold, this last time that I shall nourish my, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. You'll notice there, this is the only place in all this where it says, I'm going to send my servants forth, and they're going to do this, and it's the last time we're going to do this. And if you labor with your mites, with me, you shall have joy in the fruit which I lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. It shall come to pass that the servants did go to it and labor with their mites. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. And there began to be the natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off and to be cast away, and they did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And they did labor with all diligence according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the bed had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become again the natural fruit. And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning. And it came to pass, and when the Lord of the vineyard saw that his fruit was good, that his vineyard was no more corrupt, He called up his servants and saith unto them, Behold, for this last time have we nourished my vineyard, and thou beholdest that I have done according to my will. And I will preserve the natural fruit, that it is good, even like it was in the beginning. And blessed art thou. For because that ye have been diligent in laboring with me in my vineyard, and have kept my commandments, and have brought unto me again the natural fruit, that my vineyard is no more corrupted, and the bad is cast away, behold, ye shall have joy with me because of the fruit of my vineyard. And I might point out, sometimes we read through things like this, and you don't realize what has been going on. These people had been taught the commandments that came through that prophet, that Holy One of Israel, of how to live their lives, the kind of people they had or ought to be. And they became that kind of people. And that was the fruit. The people themselves being followers in covenant with Christ. And if they unite themselves with Christ, they have united themselves also with the Father. So when we teach the commandments of Christ, we want to know how to do this big work. When we do that, we are doing this work. That's what God's asking us to do. For behold, for a long time will I lay up of the fruit of my vineyard and of mine own self against the season which speedily cometh. And for the last time have I nourished my vineyard, and I pruned it, and dug about it, and dunged it. Wherefore I will lay up unto my own self of the fruit for a long time, according to that which I have spoken. And when the time cometh that evil fruit shall again come into my vineyard, then will I cause the good and the bad to be gathered. And the good will I preserve unto myself, and the bad will I cast away into its own place. And then cometh the season and the end, and my vineyard will I cause to be burned with fire. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that I would prophesy. Behold, this is my prophecy, that the things which this prophet Zenas spake concerning the house of Israel, in the which he likened them unto a tame olive tree, must surely come to pass. And in the day that he shall set his hand again the second time. And I think you all understand that the church that Christ established when he walked this earth, he set his hand the first time. It went into apostasy. And once again he set his hand for the last time. He set that hand the second time to recover his covenant people, Israel. And it's worded that way. His covenant people, Israel. And in the day that he shall set his hand again the second time to recover his people is the day. Yea, even the last time that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power to nourish and prune his vineyard, and after that the end soon cometh. And how blessed are they which have labored diligently in his vineyard, and how cursed are they which shall be cast out into their own place, and the world shall be burned with fire. It says that when Christ comes in his glory, this earth's going to pass away. You know, we talk about a temple. And the people come into the visitor center here, and they're always talking about the temple, and they want to see the stone that marked the spot. where it's going to be. But that's not what the book says. The book says the big thing is New Jerusalem. Yeah, that temple will probably be a part of it, but there's a city we're talking about. So I want to read to you the last part of 3 Nephi, chapter 9. I'll start verse 99 for brevity's sake, on page 663. I'll start at verse 98. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which am Jesus Christ, and these are words that Christ told the people on this land, and it was his prophecy. Which the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles. And you can leave out this a part of that sentence there. But Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. And these are things... And says, and it shall be done even as Moses says, that they've given to him power that he shall bring forth unto the Gentiles. And this is talking about a servant bringing some words to the Gentiles. And my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversary, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will I cut off, will I also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. Brothers and sisters, that's us right here. Not inside this church. We are the covenant people. I hope. I know the church is. And I know we're all working at it. But I want to encourage you to realize that is not saying here that these people are going to go through and tread down and truck cut them in pieces and so forth. The people that are already covenant people of the Lord have made their personal covenant with him. They are not going to be tread down. Those people are going to know there's a difference. And now read the rest of this chapter and begin the next one, because there's something that fulfills what this previous thing I read to you about is going to happen. It's the building of a new Jerusalem. And I'm getting short on time, so I'll have to tell you where the rest of it is. But I'd like to have you read the first two pages of the, at least that much, of the sixth chapter of Ether in this Book of Mormon. It says that there's going to be a holy city built up here called the New Jerusalem. And after it is done, now somebody says, well, we just assisted. Well, so what? If you drove a bunch of the nails in the things that they were building and they called you an assistant, oh boy, that's terrible, isn't it? But you at least got to be a part of it. You got to come and warm the seats in the Lord's house. That's what I'm saying to you. That's not a hardship on us when it really comes down to it. We're going to build that city, and it's going to be a holy city. And then it says we won't be confounded again until the end comes. And in the parable of the vineyard, it's when iniquity came back into the vineyard again, and then they gathered the ones, and if you've read Christ, I can't quote the chapter and verse here because I didn't go look it up right away. When Christ was talking about the end, he said they were going to come and there's going to be two in the field, one will be taken and the other left, and so forth. The gathering together of his people that are going to fulfill what Paul talked about to the Thessalonians, he said, those who were caught up into the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so we would ever be with the Lord. But we're going to build a holy city first. Then we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, according to what the Book of Mormon says. And then you're going to have a new Jerusalem, holy city come down from above, from heaven. And a holy city, the old Jerusalem, that has also been built up a holy city. And right now, they're warring so much over there, they don't have the right to call it. They've just got their foot in there. And I'm not trying to minimize what we're saying. What I'm saying is God is showing us he's getting the job done. He's gathering Israel. And what we're doing when we make a covenant with him and we become his followers, those humble followers of Jesus Christ, we come into that covenant and are numbered among his people. Because that covenant is, it's not just a church. When you make your covenant, you make that covenant with Jesus Christ. And when you take the sacrament here, that was a testimony that you bear every Sunday. You bear that testimony, or I shouldn't say every Sunday, I should say every time you take the sacrament. You're bearing a testimony through Jesus Christ to his Father that you're willing to love Jesus Christ, keep his commandments, and be his follower so that you'll have his Spirit to be with you. And not only that, if his Spirit is with us, when these magnificent changes happen, we're going to know what part we will be playing in that. God will not, he will let us know when we're pleasing him. Most of the time we know that anyway, but once in a while there's a question. But he will let us know. It's just like, I don't know, I think most of you feel the way I do about this. We teach our children to go to God and ask for guidance that they will know who they should marry or if they should marry. And sometimes I've had them question, well, how come, why will he answer me even? Because I'm asking him something I need, I won't go on in faith. Well, if you ask him one way or another, he will let you know. And that's the same thing that it says over here, and I think I'll finish with this. I'm going to turn over to the 10th chapter of Moroni. And this is something we must never forget. We think it only means this record. Well, that's a big thing, all right. But it says more than that. I'm going to read verse 3, 4, and 5 on page 775. And this is Moroni saying, it says, after he seals up the records, he wants to say a few words to us in exhortation. And this is what he says. Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your heart. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you will ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you. And if you'll notice here, you have to have faith in Christ. He is our Savior. He said all these things. Do we have faith enough in him to believe all the things that he has said, the promises he has made? Because they came from his Father. And if you will ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, and this is the statement I want you to take note of, ye may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And back over in the 7th chapter of Moroni, it tells you that anything you want to know, if you want to find out whether something is right or not, you examine it under the spyglass of the light of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to discourage you. There are a bunch of things that are very distasteful that are going to be happening. But I think that if we survive, it'll be because God decided it that way. Because he is the one that watches over us. There is a story about George Washington and about a battle that he was in. And it came through the Indian. The fact that he went through that battle, and then the testimony that this Indian chieftain gives says this, that he had riflemen that could not miss, except for that man. And then he goes on to say, that the hand of the Great Spirit was upon him. And he even said that he knew afterwards that the tunic that Washington wore was riddled with bullet holes. And he was not injured in that battle. So, what God can do, we say it's marvelous, but do we believe it? You can begin to believe it if you ever come through a hurricane, believe me. It'll teach you that that's the only way you get there. Thank you very much. I love all of you. Please accept this, because the longer I know you, the more valuable you are to me and this God of ours. Pray for me and I'll pray for you.